Today we're going to go from Genesis to Revelation to understand what God has done for us and how to operate in it and what's already been said about this generation. There's been a lot said about this generation. If you read the Bible with the seven spirits of God, the Bible is so deep in so many areas. One person can get one level of revelation and another person can get seven times that. The revelations embedded in the Bible are so deep, so wide, so full. So we're going to begin in Genesis 1. Some of this will be familiar, and then we're just going to walk through dominion story today. Verse 26 in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, let them have dominion. God gave man dominion in the beginning over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said, now be fruitful, multiply, replenish. Well, there's a lot going on in that replenish word, but we won't get another day. And subdue it and have dominion. So this dominion was given as an operation of man. It was designed as man walks in the fullness of God. Dominion would be a natural result. And the earth was given to man. God has never changed that, by the way. Earth was given to man. Man had dominion. So many of us are asking God to do things that only God's going to do through you, with you, and not apart from you. Amen. There are mountains that are only going to be moved by you exercising dominion. But before we start exercising dominion, let's look at a few things, because that was chapter 1. By chapter 3, man lost his dominion. The whole chapter, the devil came and he tempted man. They ate from the tree. The law of sin and death entered into the earth. And man was no longer in the proper position to exercise dominion. Because apart from God in abiding in that position with him, dominion won't work properly. It's not going to work for you. And so when man lost his dominion, that's when the devil became the god of this world system. He stole what God gave to you and to me. He stole it. That's why he has a legal right to be here, because he stole something from Adam. So God immediately set up a plan to restore this dominion. And to do that, he had to first enter into covenant. And so we saw him enter a covenant with Abraham, and then he made some promises through that covenant. And because he could swear by no greater, he swore to himself. He actually called Abraham up to witness a covenant he was going to make with himself. He says, I'm swearing the Father to the Son. I'm going to bring you into the earth. You're going to be the single solitary seed. You're going to give your life to the earth, and then I'm going to exceedingly multiply you, and I'm going to create a brand new race. That's really what was going on in that covenant. He swore to a seed that he was going to multiply. He was going to bring that seed into the earth. That seed would fall into the ground and die, and he would raise that seed from the dead, and then he would multiply that new creation. A man that was restored. So God set his plan, his design. When God sets a design, he does not waver from it. It doesn't matter who fails. He's not going to waver until he gets his way. Amen. In the end, God gets his way. Praise God. How many of you ever wrestled with God? You're not going to win that. He's going to win, and he'll outlast you. He's a whole lot more patient than you are. He can outlast you because he'll sit and watch and wait on you for a lifetime while you stumble and fall until you get ready to get it right. Amen. Do you eat from the fruit enough to know that I already know what's going to happen if I do that? I'm not going to do it. So Psalms 8 is a very powerful verse because this is a Psalm of David, and he caught a prophecy of God's restoration. I mean, God could have just came. Jesus could have come and just saved you, which he did, praise God. But he did a whole lot more than that. His plan was to come and restore that dominion element. And the way he did it was just remarkable. And so he prophesies this in Psalms chapter 8, verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? You made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You made us him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you put all things under his feet. And then he reiterates what was going on in chapter 1 of Genesis. The sheep, the oxen, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, fish of the sea, whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. Oh Lord, how excellent is your name. So this is actually a prophecy of God's plan, his genius plan, by the way, to restore dominion. And David catches this prophecy. And so for God to restore dominion, he was going to have to become a man, because he couldn't do it as God. If he did it as God, you couldn't obtain it. And so therefore, he had to become the seed of Abraham to do this. And so we're going to pick that up as we take this out of the old, and we're moving into the fulfillment of this prophecy. And this prophecy gets fulfilled in Hebrews chapter 2. And he begins to speak of this fulfillment of exactly what he would just said. And we're going to watch what happened. And then we're going to see what happened to us in that equation. And then we're going to see what God had to say about us once dominion's restored, and about our generation. So verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 2. Now, what's going on in Hebrews is he's comparing the administration of Christ. He'll compare him to the law later and being after the order of Melchizedek. But here he's comparing him to the angels. What is this comparison to the angels? And so we're going to pick this part up right here in verse 6. He says, but one in a certain place, which we just read, Psalms 8, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Now here we're going to see the fulfillment of this prophecy. That thou art mindful of him, the son of man, that thou visitest him. Thou made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. And you did set him over, or made him have dominion over the works of your hands. So here we go. This restoration factor of dominion's story is dominion had to get back into man, had to get back into the earth. And this is how God did it. And he said he put all things in subjection under his feet. That's very important when you're dealing with dominion, is it has to get under your feet. The earth, your situations, your struggles, what you deal with. If it's sickness, infirmity, I know sickness or infirmity, you wear it in your body, but you've got to get in a position where it's under your feet. Because dominion's going to work properly when we're positioned properly. Amen? He says, thou hast put all things in subject under his feet, and for in that he put all things subjected under him. Watch verse 9 here. The Lord's going to describe Paul, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. There was a very brief moment, because when you read first chapter of chapter 1, chapter 2, it'll talk about how the angels praised him and how, being the Son of God, he had preeminence over the whole angelic world. He's the Lord of the angelic host of heaven. He's their king, basically. And they know that. But here, he was made a little lower than the angels. There's this brief moment when he goes to the cross and he gives up his estate. Now he is the Son of God, but he's doing this as the Son of Man. He has to do it as a man because he has to restore man. He's doing it in position of all mankind. He's doing this for you and me. What is man that he's mindful of him? He's doing it for us. Everything he's doing is repositioning us. So he's made lower than the angel at the suffering of death. When he gave up the spirit and he went into hell, that's when he was made lower than the angelic host. In fact, he was made lower than the demons themselves. They had total authority over him for 3 days, suffering. And he wasn't down there having a party down there. He was suffering our death, when he took upon our sin, he had to take the penalty of that sin. He had to go down into hell and suffer for us. I actually had a kind of an open vision of that last year. It was very intense. Long story short, I was caught up in a vision, and he was hanging on it. It wasn't a cross. It was actually a tree. I saw I was being joined to him. This was in a kind of a baptism. The Bible says we're baptized in his death. Planted together in likeness of death. But it's really not the new creation in you. It's the old. And my old man was being joined to him. And we were going down to a certain level. And all of a sudden, it stopped. And I saw the earth open, and it's just hell down there. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, it just gripped me. He said, you can't, this is as far as you can go. This is only for your old man. And I saw him, and that he took that whole person, and he buried, and he went down into that place. It was the most awful thing. I literally wept for a whole day. I was so broken. Just to know he would do that. I was so undone to watch him do that, but he had to do that. And that was the time, not only he was suffering, your old man was buried with him too. Everything was positionally completed. He did everything from raising us up to taking the old man down. I mean, the redemption was so full and so complete in every single way. Whether you know that he did it or not, it was so complete and so full. What is man that he's mindful of us? He did this for us. He came for us. He could have just saved us and left it at that. But no, God said, no, we got to fulfill our original mandate. Let man have dominion into the earth. There is a generation that will walk in total dominion before the return of the Lord. Absolute dominion in every area. Every mountain will be made low in this dominion. And so he was made lower than the angels at the suffering of death. When he gave up the Spirit of God, he was brought down into hell. The demons, for 3 days, the devil had his way with him. I don't even know the kind of suffering. None of us really will know what he went through. But you know it had to be, because 3 days, 3 nights. He had to actually have faith. He goes, I am, Psalms 88 describes, he goes, I'm shut up. I cannot come forth. And he had to have faith the Father's going to come get him. Could you imagine being in a belly? Don't even imagine that. But he had to have faith the Father was going to raise him from that place. Because he had a, that was his promise. He was given up. He goes, my God, why has thou forsaken me in sin? He had never known sin, not an ounce of it, any time. Eternity passed until he became our sin, and sin completely overtook him. In fact, the Roman centurion, he says his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form the sons of men. And he said, this must be the Son of God. That law of sin and death that corrupted the whole earth was laid upon one man, and it caused such a contortion that you couldn't even tell it was a man hanging there. He was buried that with that for 3 days. That's when he was made lower than the angels. That's when he gave up the suffering for death. That's when everything was paid for. And then his faith. Wow. We see Jesus made lower than the angels, suffering death. And then watch this, verse 9. Crowned with glory and honor. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Say, bringing many sons to glory. He did it to bring us into glory. He did it to restore us into our rightful place. And he did that in his ascension. He was crowned, and he wasn't crowned in glory and honor down there. He was crowned in his resurrection. In his resurrection, he was called up into the right hand of God. And the Father reassigned everything to him and gave him a name above everything. And he was crowned with glory and honor. And we see something so perfect that we're very aware of in this church, if you go to this church. But we see something about what happened with dominion. Not only did God restore dominion, this is the God-man sitting on the throne. Son of God and Son of Man sitting on the throne now. Man was elevated even higher than Adam was in the beginning. He was elevated all the way to the right hand of God. Because what he did for me and did for you. Everything he became, you became. Everything he inherited, you inherited because you were made joint heir with him. He carried you with you. He carried your old man down. He carried your new man up. He reassigned man. He delighted to bring many sons into glory. Now man had access to sit at the right hand of God. Now, dominion restored. Now we see a picture of this in a very familiar church, very familiar verse in this church. Go to Revelation 5. We don't get around Revelation 5 very much, do we? In the old days, it should have been, what was it, Romans 8, Mark 4. Now it's Revelation 5. Your Bible should just flip open to Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. Just incredible. Now we not only see dominion, but we see perfected dominions. Say perfected dominion. Seven times. Resting upon the man, the Son of Man, Son of God, raised from the dead. Crowned with glory and honor. You were crowned too. You have to know that. You have to know who you are if you're going to operate in dominion. You can't walk around thinking like a man and operate in dominion. You have to move into the restored position because dominion moved. Dominion was stolen. Dominion was restored. Dominion was given. Here we see John's caught up. The whole book of Revelation was an open vision. And he sees a book in the right hand of him sitting on the throne. Verse 5. And one of the elders said, "Weep not, John. Behold, the bread and butter, the lion of the tribe of Judah." Say, lion! He's not coming back as a lamb. He came as a lamb. He's coming as a lion. The world is not ready for the lion. Because they know him as the lamb, but he's coming back as a roaring lion. And when he begins his roar, the nations are going to be called into obedience. He's let them do what they're going to do, but that's going to end. The kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our God. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals. And behold, lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Now the lamb's going to be crowned. This is the lamb. He gave his life for the world. Now he's been raised from the dead. Having seven horns and seven eyes. Now, when people read this, they don't, I mean, here you understand it, but a lot of people when they read it, they don't understand what this means. Having seven eyes and seven horns, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He prophesied that the seven spirits of God would be sent out into the whole earth in the last day. These seven eyes are, this as we know, the horns in the book of Revelation means king or kingdoms, period. So the seven horns, when you see seven, is always perfection. Say perfection. Anytime you see seven is perfection. Seven trumpets or ram's horns resting upon him. Seven eyes. You're looking at the crowning of the King of Kings right there. You're looking at his mantle. A lot of people think he's going to come and just become king here in the earth. He's still going to be anointed just like he was in the beginning. He didn't do a single operation until the Holy Spirit fell upon him. When he returns to the earth, that's his anointing. That's his mantle. The seven spirits of God is resting upon him. He's actually going to send his mantle right out in front of him for a generation to do exploits, which we know a lot about. So we see this perfection of dominion now. Those seven trumpets represent kingly dominion, perfect dominion. God not only restored dominion, he perfected it. He's going to bring it back into the earth. He's going to rule and reign with it for 1,000 years. And the whole, every kingdom is going to bow. There's not a single one that won't. And they're going to bow to that crown. You're looking at the crown. There's no other way to look at it. The seven eyes is the omnipresent omniscience of the Most High God. And then they say, "Worthy is the Lamb." And they list out seven inheritances. Dunamis power. Well, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. All of this is coming into the earth. God's reserved the best wine for the last time. So not only did man lose his dominion, Jesus restored that dominion, and then the Father perfected that dominion. It's a dominion greater than Adam, I'm telling you. It wasn't just Adam's dominion. It's a dominion of the Son of God himself that sits at the right hand of God, which all the earth and all of its resources and every living thing is under. You know, really, in reality, I know it's hard, but in true dominion, a lion could, you could be standing in front of a lion, just like Daniel did, and a lion could not hurt you. Under true dominion, Jesus manifested. He called fish into a net. He commanded the earth to obey. He commanded storms to be still. He manifested that dominion in the earth. But God had a greater plan, because he was going to restore it. And so the restoration and dominion, all of this is going on in the right hand of God. All of it's there. That's where it's been restored. That's where it's given. That's where it initially operates from. Well, dominion's on us. Legally's dominion on you, just like legally you've been healed. There's a difference between legally being healed and actually being healed. Do you know legally, sin, sickness, infirmity doesn't have the right to attach itself to your body? Legally, debt, poverty, lack, need, or destruction does not have a right to your body. Now, that's legally. That's redemption. But factually or positionally, practically in the earth, it still happens. Why? Because you're in another territory here. All that's been done there. And in fact, not only was it done, God called you up. See, he called you up. Ephesians 2. With a great love, or he loved us. Even when we were fallen in sin, raised us up together. God, who's rich in mercy, his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, quickened us together with Christ. Woo! Say together. That means where he go, you go. Where you go, I go. Any place you see him sitting, standing, that's your place. The only place you don't have, you're a son of God at the right hand of God. He's the son of God at the right hand of God. He's God. We're not God, but we've been given all the benefits of authority and dominion. Because he did it all for us. That's why the angels, I know if Gabriel stood here, you would go, oh my God. But you realize that you have more authority than that all the angelic host. The Bible says they're ministering flames sent to minister on the behalf of the heirs. Not kids. You can be babes and have your guardian angels, but the ministering flames are a different class of angels. They minister on behalf of those who know something, who understand who they are, who understand their authority and are operating the authority. They come and operate with you because you know who you are. Just like Elisha, open his eyes, and all of a sudden his eyes were opened and the whole mountain was filled with chariots of fire. I use that imagery every day. I mean, if nobody else is calling up on him, I'm going to call up on him. We need him for this assignment he's given us. He raises us up. And he made us, and it says, by grace you're saved, and has raised us up together. Say, raised us up. Together. Get the word together. Get it together. Come on, church. Get it together. Made us sit together in heavenly places. I'm pretty sure that's just a wooden stool in the back alleys of heaven. Where are you sitting? What are you sitting on? His restored throne. It's actually the throne of David, who was reassigned into the heavens. because it was man's throne. He restored man. He took it up into heaven. He's bringing it all back with dominion. And he calls us up to sit. That's your secret right there. To operate in dominion, you're going to have to get positioned. Say positioned. You have to get positioned. So many people, well, we have his name. You do have his name and you have his word. And you can exercise a certain level here with his name and his word. But you're going to operate a whole lot better when you get positioned with him. For the one purpose is because everything goes under your feet. He said he put all things under his feet. It's very hard to operate if you don't learn to get out of this system and come back. Because all you're doing is dealing with the same old stuff all the time. You don't have dominion over it. Why? Because you're in it. If you're in your storm, Jesus was in a storm, but the storm wasn't in him. It was in everybody. Right? Remember on the boat? He was sleeping. All the disciples, they were tossed and turned. Master, we perish. He already said, let us go to the other side. Once he said that, there was no way he wasn't going to the other side. There was no storm that was going to sink that boat. It never got in him. He stands up and speaks, be still. That's why the earth obeyed. Why did the earth obey him? The earth is never going to obey you if you're tossed and turned by the earth. If you're in the earth, being tossed and turned, it's not going to obey you. You can have all the knowledge in the world and know everything about God and still can't get it to obey you. That's the secret. The Lord's given us an extremely large mountain to move. And every time I'd come down, I'd see that mountain. And he gave me this verse one day. He said, before the face of Zerubbabel, every mountain's made low. He's already leveled the mountain. Don't go stand in front of a mountain. Stand in me. It's a difference. So lately, because you know, the Bible talks about in Zechariah 10, this is the generation that walks up and down in his name. Say up and down. They walk up and down in his name. There is a generation that will understand these things. What's the purpose? There's a lot of things the Holy Spirit brings down here. You have his name. But the problem is it's hard to operate in dominion when you're in the middle of a storm all the time. Or the storms of familiarity. Or your own storms going on in your own mind. You got to get out. That's why you ascend. Because what did he say? Let man have dominion and place all things under his feet. And the Lord said, you need to start learning how to put the earth under your feet. Because you're not going to be able to put the earth under your feet while it's up inside you and all around you. And you're swimming in trouble all the time. You see how that, you can scream at trouble, but if you're swimming in trouble and screaming at trouble, trouble's not going to obey you. There is a place where trouble will obey you. I said this the other day, because this is what we're working on heavy duty right now. I woke up and the scroll, it's kind of one of those Nebuchadnezzar scrolls, but it wasn't his words, thank God. It was, you got that. It wasn't like, what was that? Mini Tico Eupharson, yeah, whatever. It's like the kingdom's rent. No, that wasn't the word scrolling. It was scrolling literally across the wall. The same thing kept scrolling. It was really remarkable. Till the earth obeys. Till the earth obeys. I just woke up. I'm like, what's going on? Till the earth obeys. And I'm like, what is this? And the Lord said, that's my answer. To what? He goes, your question. I'm like, what question? He said, the one you asked me of how long do I have to keep doing this? Go up and down, speaking, coming down. He goes, until the earth obeys. And then you understand. So this whole process going up and down, getting seated together with him, acclimating to the altitude, learning who we are, sitting down by faith, sitting down in the day of the crown, standing in the day of life. In this positioning, one of the things he's doing We're raised together, made joint heirs. Anything you see happening with him, it's happening with you, because he delighted in bringing many sons to glory. He meant to bring you to glory. He meant to reassign you. He meant to get you out and get everything about you reassigned into the new. See, there's a whole plan, a living plan of the Father that God doesn't struggle with, because he sees you reassigned. You're the only one that doesn't see you reassigned. God the Father sees you reassigned, because when he looks at you through Christ, and Christ already represents you as being reassigned. God does, the Lord will deal with your weaknesses. He'll meet you where you are and love a dub dub in the tub with you. But when he's presenting you the Father, he's presenting you perfect. And when the Father looks at you, he's got these rose-colored glasses on. And he sees you through Christ perfect. 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 Why? Because they see the end from the beginning. And because of that, if you can start aligning yourself to see yourself the way God does, that's what really faith is agreeing with what's done, saying what's done, seeing what's done. Or you can just go wobble in the wilderness. How many of you want to wobble in the wilderness? Self-pity, woe's me. None of that's going to ever work, by the way. Only when you're a little baby does it work. So God gets you up there. He starts this process of reassignment. He gets you thinking like him, talking like him, believing like him, feeling like him, understanding like him, knowing the earth is under your feet. So lately, as we're going up there, the Lord said, before you drop down, if you're new, we go up, we get repositioned, we come down. It's a different person coming down than going up. I'm not doing anything. David wasn't either when he was running around the mountain and Saul was chasing him, trying to kill him because there was something on him. And the devil knew he was going to change that whole generation. He was trying to take him out before it ever manifested. Because once he slayed Goliath, you can't go slaying something and walk away. Once you take something down, you are marked. Because that was the devil's champion. The devil paraded him on out there. And David took him down with a sling and a stone. That made David different than anybody else on the earth. That made who he was a king in that stone. He was going to rule the nations. And so as we're beginning, the Lord said, ask me to enlarge you. Ask me to stretch forth the curtain to habitation. You need to come down 100 times larger than who you were going up. Hear what I just said. Your flesh going up, your humanity going up, something happens there. There's an exchange that takes place. When you come back, you're like David. When you come back, you've got a lion inside of you. When you come back down, the earth is under your feet. What a day it was. Poof. This morning, there was some authority. You can feel the authority of heaven. You can feel it on you. Those who know, you know an authority. How many of you know when authority comes on you? You know you've got it. But then there's just times like, man, he gives you something and makes, he turns you to another person altogether. It's not you, it's Christ in you. And he's going to come roar through you. You come down blazing saddles. Woe to the enemy standing in front of you when you're like that. I said, enlarge me, Lord. I want to be so large when I come down, I'm not standing in front of a mountain. I want to come down with everything. I don't care how big my assignment. I want it to be under my feet. I remember a guy, I read a book one time, he had an angelic visitation. And this angel gave him a piece of paper and said, this is the mystery. And there was two large dots on the piece of paper. And the angel said, which one are you? Because right now, you're the small dot, and your trouble's the big dot. He goes, until you become the big dot, that trouble's not going to leave you. You have to grow. And the angel explained it to him, and he gave him this mystery. He goes, you have to grow past that big dot. You have to become a big dot. You've got to get enlarged. You don't get enlarged here. This place is meant to beat you down. You haven't figured that out yet? There are forces in this earth that are always aligned against you. If they're not distracting you, they're trying to steal, kill, and destroy something inside of you. They want your hope. They want your faith. They want your family. They want your attention. There's no generation like this that wakes up to a cell phone. There's no generation like that. The enemy can come right through your phone. He can come right up in your room and introduce the whole world to you through a phone. There's no generation being tried, but there's no generation given the glory like this one either. And we are a generation that walks up and down in his name, but there's an enlarging that takes place because dominion's there. My dominion. When I get up there, I know it's the Lord's, but it's mine too, and I've got to take ownership of it. I'm endued with seven trumpets of jubilee. I'm endued with the seven eyes of omnipresent omniscience. I'm endued with dominion. If he thought enough to restore it for me, he wants somebody operating in it like it. This is a generation of the manifested sons. Gotta do it. He's not coming back to the manifested son. Manifest. Say manifest. And so he enlarges. There's been this enlarging that's taking place. You feel like 100 feet tall when you come down. I've only experienced that two times in the past, two or three times, but this time I've experienced it twice in the last couple of weeks. This morning was one of them. I felt 100 feet tall. When I'm speaking to the enemy, he is way down there, not all around me and up in here. And I know he's going to have to obey because I'm not standing in myself anymore. I'm standing in the Lord's name. I'm standing in his authority. I'm standing in a God-ordained dominion that God gave to man, restored by the Lord, perfected seven times over, and given to us, a generation, to manifest the glory of God in the earth. I'm preaching good today. Praise God. Boo. Shakabuya. Okay, that's my introduction. We're going to break for 15 minutes and come back. No, I'm just kidding. We'll just encompass the Texans right now. Lord, we encompass them with the chariots of fire. Be with them today. So what if the other team's praying? It's whoever's prayers are greater. Our prayers are pretty good right now. So Lord, let the chariots of fire be with them today like bulls that run through. Let me close with this. This is my first close. I mean, you know, when you get in this realm, you feel it. Even though it hasn't actually manifested, you feel it. You feel it. I'm going to say you feel it. You have an edge. You've got something on you, and you know you do. Listen, people who operate and move mountains, they know why the mountain moves. If you don't know why a mountain moves in your life, you're looking at a miracle. Faith didn't do it a miracle. Faith will always know exactly why that mountain moved. Whew. There's an enlargement there. Christ is huge. He's King of Kings there. When you sit with him, he enlarges. Stretching forth the authority. So when you come down, I'm 100 feet tall. I'm an oak tree. Carlos, I'm an oak tree. Drive your car up into me. Man, I'm Thor with a hammer. Hallelujah. Not me. Christ in me. Look, you already dealt with there. You go and get buried. That's part of going up in the mountain. You get buried. You go reassign. By the time you're coming down, you're not in the equation anymore. He's in the equation. Praise God. Well, I thought I was just going to come to a nice Baptist church. That's the wrong. We're baptized. We've been baptized. We're a Baptist church. Isaiah 60. And we'll the glorified Zion. Whew. Love this chapter. Whew. Arise, shine. Thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon. You see, done. And behold, darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness, people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory will be seen upon thee. Listen, the church was given a crown, chapter 3, Church of Philadelphia. God's not returning until some glory manifests from this bride. He's not taking a weak, demented bride up into heaven. She will be strong and full of glory. The Gentiles will come to thy light, the kings of the brightness of thy rising. Verse 5, then thou shalt see and flow together. Your heart shall be filled with godly fear and be enlarged. Say, and be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sea will be converted to thee, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Verse 21, and the people also shall be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the works of my hands, that I may be glorified a little. I'm going to tell you something. People don't realize, but God gets glorification in your victories when you do it his way. God gets glorification because the mountains he puts you in front of, you can't do. And when you win that battle, God gets the glory. And you get the exhilaration for winning. There's an exhilaration when you win. How many of you want to start winning something in the kingdom of God? I want to move mountains. Not by my might, not by my power, but by the wisdom of God and the dominion he's given to us in this hour. In verse 22, a little one shall become a thousand, a small one, a strong nation. Listen, you can become a thousand. He said the least of you will become a thousand. And then there are others going to become a whole nation in this. You're going to carry a nation inside of you. You're going to carry the authority of a nation. The glory of a new day. That's why we're doing this. Something's coming out in this hour. The Bible says he crowns our year with goodness. I'm not ready to step over in 2026 yet. In the spirit, I'll step over. But right now, I'm still representing 2025. I'm going to represent all the way to the midnight hour. You crown my year in goodness. Say, you crowneth my year in goodness. That crown could arrive and touch down any moment. And any time that dominion can be released and manifested. Boy, that's a big mountain moving. Praise God. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.